go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition. Before you bet, Aaron Live right here on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like and smash that subscribe and like button right down there. Great big show coming up today. We got a great big football game, kind of bittersweet. The end of the college football season, Notre Dame, Ohio State getting after it in Atlanta. It's also the last, I know it's not a traditional Monday night football game, but it's also the last game on a Monday that we're going to have until next season. So that's a little sad too. So hopefully we do get a competitive game here tonight. So we're going to be breaking that down in a matter of seconds with the man, Brad Powers. Also bittersweet because it will be Brad's last appearance on the show here for a while. So we're going to be all over that. We got a lot to discuss out of the NFL. We're going to be breaking that down with our biggest winners and losers out of the weekend. We'll look forward to next weekend as well. And then MLK Day. So we got some day NBA games. So John Mettler and I have six total NBA picks. Okay, if you guys want to participate in the show today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube. Let us know who's your biggest winners and losers of the week in the NFL. Biggest loser of the weekend, maybe of the entire NFL season, Mark Andrews. That is from Jigglypuff. And I will not read the comment from Cheeseburger Eddie. Because this is a family program. So more NFL here coming right up, but let's get into the national championship game tonight. And for that, we go down to our man in sunny Las Vegas, Brad Powers. Brad, how are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me as always. You're right. Bittersweet. Final time I get to see you this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully we get a winning performance out of you. You've been on fire here throughout bowl season, 10-1, which makes it a winning season overall. So a couple of best bets to get into. Now, we had you on last week where we pre-recorded a national championship game preview with Jake Butt. So we'll regurgitate a little bit about what you said there. Also get into some fresh topics. So we know you like Ohio State here. But sometimes upsets happen, right? So what would the path to victory be for Notre Dame if they can pull off the upset?
It's very narrow, but it's like a typical big underdog. Starts with turnovers. They need to be plus in that category, or I don't think they have much of a shot tonight. The good news, if you're a Notre Dame backer, a Notre Dame fan, Notre Dame's forced the most turnovers of any team in college football this year. And on top of it, they've scored the most points off turnovers out of any team in the country so far this year. So they are capable. That's in their DNA. I would say field position. They're number four in the country in average start field position. Turnovers having a big part to do with it. So if they get good field position, obviously it's not going to be likely they drive the length of the field multiple times against this great Ohio State defense, but they got to take advantage of their field position. And I would say special teams, which again, they have fully taken advantage of that in the last three games in the playoffs. If you've seen, you know, when their kicker's healthy, they got one of the best kickers in the country. We've seen them at kick return touchdown against Georgia. And then, you know, the game winning field goal kick against Penn State. So they need to hit on all three of those, Joe. And even then, it's still going to be an uphill climb.
Okay, so last week when we had our little discussion for a preview show, you gave out one of your best bets, Notre Dame team total under 17.5. So that's still holding steady. So for those who might have missed your appearance last week, why do you like that bet?
Well, let's start with there's only one team in the country that's, you know, topped this team total against this Buckeyes defense. That's Oregon, and that's one of the best offenses in the country, a high-flying offense with, you know, a great passing attack. Notre Dame doesn't have a great passing attack and a wide-open, you know, spread type of offense. Notre Dame, again, doesn't have that. I just think this Ohio State defense, if you're asking me what's the most trustworthy unit in all of college football right now, it's the Ohio State defense. You know, even in the Michigan game, I mean, they held Michigan at 13 points. So that should have been a win in that regard. So I don't see, again, unless there's turnovers, Notre Dame's offense isn't going up and down the field against this Ohio State defense. So under 17.5, that's one of the best bets I have.
Okay. Let's add two final best bets for the season here. Brad, we have a meat and potatoes one, and then we have a prop. So let's start with meat and potatoes. Ohio State, you like them to cover at 8.5 points here.
Yeah, I do. I'm not going to, you know what? I thought about it. Should I give out a side? And then I just, you know, was looking at the, you know, recent, not even recent history, last like three decades of these college football national title games. You just pick the winner of the national title, you're 24-3 against the spread. The straight up winners, 24-3. So I think Ohio State's going to win. Therefore, I think they're going to cover the spread. And then I'll just use recent history. These games are hardly ever close. Last six matchups have all been decided by 15 or more. So I just think it's way more likely if we're talking about variance in this game. I think it's way more likely if we're talking about a touchdown above expectation, more likely Ohio State wins in a blowout than Notre Dame winning outright. So I'm laying it with the Buckeyes.
Let's go Buckeyes. Okay, your final best bet here, Brad. You've been with us since mid-August. One more to go, one more bet for what's been a winning season here. It's a prop bet on Will Howard. What do you like for him?
Again, I'm not going to overcomplicate it here. So if Ohio State's going to cover this spread, what's the most likely thing to happen? Well, they're going to take advantage of Notre Dame's man-to-man coverage defense, which is the best in the country, but they haven't faced a passing offense like this, particularly the talent at wide receiver. And I'll say this, since the Michigan game, which was a come-to-Jesus moment for this Ohio State offense, Will Howard, in the three playoff games, has averaged 308 passing yards per game. There's no trying to out-bully somebody up front. Let's just get the ball out to our playmakers. 308 passing yards per game in the last three, in the three most important games of the season. And on top of it, Notre Dame really hasn't faced a bunch of, you know, a murderer's row as far as pass offenses. But the top three passing offenses that they have faced this year, this Vaughn and Notre Dame pass defense has given up 286. So last I checked, Will Howard's passing yards total, 244.5. 308, 286. Last I checked, Joe, that's above 244.5 over passing yards. Will Howard tonight.
Okay, Brad, you're about to have a lot more free time here. Between all the research handicapping, the Avalanche games every single weekend, and then actually watching those games. So what's on the go here for the offseason? Any big travel plans? I know you like to hit up these stadiums. Anything on the agenda yet?
Yeah, we'll probably do a tour sometime in April. But you kind of hit on it before we turned on the live button here. You're asking me, hey, I see some win totals are up already. Yeah, so it really never stops here. We got like 20 college football win totals up. There's futures. Spring practice starts in a couple weeks for a couple teams. So never a dull moment when it comes to college football.
Okay, Brad, so this is the last we'll see of you in your usual live appearances here. But once these future options open up, more win totals, some odds to make the playoff, maybe, just whatever's going to be available. Heisman, we're going to look to get you on again. We'll take a look at some futures. We will look forward to that. Thank you for joining us all season. Enjoy the game tonight. More importantly, though, best of luck with those bets, and we'll see you next time we see you.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Another great season with Brad. Hopefully getting back again next season. Okay, from college to the pros, let's talk about what we saw on the weekend, and let's look ahead to next weekend with our man who has the sexiest smile in all of sports betting jingles. I did pretty good NFL betting wise. UFC was a bit of a mixed bag for me over the weekend. Of course, I threw out that greasy money line parlay. And the Lions lost. More on that here briefly or shortly. But how'd your betting weekend go?
Is on the plays here, 1-3. Got some TDs to kind of put it in the plus side. But I don't know. That Philly offense, I was on their team total under 24.5. Same thing. I'm like, I wasn't in love with that offense, but it was tough to see the Rams just give up 80-yard rushes, like chunks and chunks of yards. And it was like Sean McVay didn't even plan to play in the snow, it looked like. It was an interesting game. That one hurt. But outside of that, Brian Robinson, that was a dud. He had no role in that passing game. It was all Austin Eckler. But how lucky can Jaden Daniels keep being? Like, can he just keep winning late? Is that what we're seeing, Joe? Like, you got to see this guy fumble sooner or later.
Okay, so let's get into that. Let's do what we do here on the Monday show, our biggest winners and losers out of the weekend. Let's start positive. Let's be nice. Let's give credit to who deserves it here, my biggest winners of the week. Let's start with Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury of the Washington Commanders. So mistake-free football by Daniels. That's what it's all about. How many of the veteran quarterbacks of the weekend can say that they play completely mistake-free football? Not many of them. Josh Allen played okay. His stats weren't impressive by any means, but let's look at what this team did. Let's give a lot of credit to the offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury. People can't wait to make fun of this guy whenever he screws up. He was fantastic. 6.6 yards per play, 3 of 4 on fourth down, 4 of 4 on red zone touchdown conversions. That game is probably going to get Cliff Kingsbury a head coaching job again in the NFL. Absolutely fantastic. Great story. The Commanders, hopefully we can see them advance to the Super Bowl here. Second biggest winner, Saquon Barkley. Let's call it what it is. The Eagles won that game because of him. It is as simple as that. 205 yards, two massive touchdown runs, a 62 and a 78. You cannot devalue the running back position when you have a guy as elite as Barkley. Absolutely fantastic. And this one's a bit personal. Third biggest winner. This is one I've been giving out multiple weeks in a row here down the stretch of the regular season as well. Bills team total over backers. 15-4 to the over. It is 9-1 at home. They're not going to play at home again this season. Might look to back that again here in the conference championship versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, honorable mention goes to teaser bettors. Five of the six teams covered a six-point teaser this weekend. The one who didn't, obviously, the Detroit Lions. More about them here briefly, shortly in our biggest loser section. Jingles, who were your biggest winners out of the weekend?
Yep, same thing. Starting Commanders here. Jaden Daniels is just so special. What's making him even more special is that offensive cast that he has. His receivers, let's be honest, they're not fully named brands. You got Terry McLaurin, sure, but I mean, De'Ami Brown and Zacchaeus as his number two and three, and kind of a over-the-hill past his prime, Zach Ertz as his number four passing option. Put up 28 points in the second quarter alone. 21 points off of turnovers. You mentioned mistake-free football. Well, how about capitalizing on the mistakes that Detroit made? 5-0 turnover. That is insane. 5 turnovers is inexcusable. And you mentioned, Joe, you touched on Kingsbury getting the job. Well, Aaron Glenn, maybe not so much. But in terms of that, we go to Josh Allen and Buffalo. Just so impressed with it. And I think, as I was saying, like Baltimore's going to run all over them. Guess what? Sean McDermott put up a great game plan. And they pushed Baltimore, again, off of what their game plan was versus Pittsburgh. They got away from that option run game that worked so well. You saw Lamar with 15 carries last week. Not even close to that amount this week. So impressed with what Buffalo was. It wasn't a beautiful offensive game plan. They ran the ball. They didn't turn it over. And they were better in the red zone this week. Much better than last week. 1-for-5. And the only touchdown was that Ty Johnson one. So clean things up. Two coaches. Making adjustments. I'm going Bills. I can't wait for them to beat Kansas City. And then finally, turnovers. That's the name of the game right now. Winning teams did not turn over the ball at all this weekend. Losing teams had 10 turnovers. The four teams who are in the final four have not turned the ball over in the playoffs. You mentioned let's not devalue the running back position. When you combine that with mistake-free football, that's how you win one-off games and just keep advancing to the next week, it seems.
Let's be mean now. Let's be negative. Let's call out who needs to be called out. There's a lot of contenders for the biggest loser of the week, but I'm going to have this trio from the Lions edging out Mark Andrews. So Jared Goff, Aaron Glenn, and Ben Johnson. So I'm sad for the Lions here, guys. Like, this is a team that I picked them and I bet on them to win the Super Bowl. So it sucks from that perspective. But this is a very likable, fun team. And they just didn't show up. They completely choked. A lot of people choking that one away. And let's start with Jared Goff. He reverted back to the guy that everyone made fun of for his first few seasons in the league. He lost a fumble, 3 interceptions, including a pick 6 that put the Commanders up 10 points. So that was just pathetic. Can you trust Jared Goff in a big game going forward? I think probably the biggest loser out of this trio is going to be Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn. Why would anyone hire Aaron Glenn to be the head coach of their team? It makes no sense whatsoever. He failed to make any adjustments. He was awful in this game. He got destroyed, killed in the red zone and on fourth down. People, hey, he's playing with a bunch of backups. You allowed almost 500 yards of offense on your home field. This is a Lions defense that got killed all season, basically whenever they played a half-decent offense. I hope to God that the New York Jets hire Aaron Glenn. That is a dream scenario for me as a Miami Dolphins fan. And Ben Johnson, he did make some, you know, they had some pretty good trick plays in that one, but just a moronic play call to have Jameson Williams throw that pass and ends up getting picked off. So that was awful. Ben Johnson's going to get a head coaching job. You don't want to judge him based on the body of the work. He's a fantastic offensive coordinator, but that was just way too risky, having the wide receiver throw a pass that led to an interception. Just backbreaking stuff. Mark Andrews. Now, I said I was sad about the Lions. That was just completely depressing, the situation you have for Mark Andrews, because you look at it from a human perspective, he's got to feel like shit. Do you think Mark Andrews went to sleep last night? No, he's probably still up. About halfway through the fourth quarter, Baltimore driving, down five. He fumbles the ball, backbreaking. They still manage to work their way back. They score the touchdown. They go for the two-point conversion. He's wide open. A ball my seven-year-old son would have caught. He drops it. I think he had a drop in the first quarter of the game as well. So just an awful performance. This is something that's going to just haunt him for the rest of his life. And there's nothing to say that they would have won. They would have tied the game on the two-point conversion, and Josh Allen would have had a minute 30 on the clock. So who knows? That was bad. Matthew Stafford, he was a bit sloppy. The last play of the game, he sailed that ball out of bounds. The announcers didn't say a goddamn thing about it. I don't know why they didn't say anything. And that people are like, well, there was a lot of pressure. They were pressuring him pretty strongly for the entirety of the game. He knew the situation. You have to give your wide receiver an opportunity to make a play on the ball. He sailed it out of bounds. What the hell are you doing? And I'm going to give a dishonorable mention here to Lamar Jackson. It's kind of funny. Like, a lot of people came out in defense of Lamar right after the game. Like, hey, I don't want to hear any Lamar Jackson slander. He wasn't awful in that game, but he had two awful turnovers. He threw an interception to a wide open defensive back, and he had an awful fumble as well. So he didn't play good. He didn't play up to the MVP standard. So he does deserve to get called out here. People will go overboard. I'm not going to kill them all, but the narrative of that Lamar Jackson, how many times did I mention it last week? Lamar hits a wall. Somebody hits the off switch in the playoffs. He wasn't awful in that game, but he had two awful turnovers. So you do have to criticize him for it. Jingles, who are your biggest losers out of the weekend?
Started off early. Third and eight, roughing the passer call versus Patty Mahomes. I just can't watch Kansas City games the same way I watch other games. And sure, maybe you can find some actual stats to back this up, but no game makes me feel the way I do than when I watch Kansas City on third down. Third down incomplete, I literally have to scan the field because I know that defense, there's a 50% chance that they're not coming off the field because there's going to be a bailout penalty, it seems. No team makes me feel the way that I do. And I don't blame Patrick Mahomes. He's just kind of beaten the system. That's his edge, right? That slide that he took, that wasn't a slide. He was like going laterally. But he got the call on that. I mean, Juwan Taylor. That tackle. He moves again every time. They implemented the rule, but he still does it. I just get so tired of it. They just take advantage, and maybe that's just good coaching and good quarterback that they can scam the system. But for what they do, it's the refs in Kansas City games to me that really piss me off, that really turned me into a Kansas City hater, because it's changed the way the game has been played. And that ultimately is the worst. And you can see the difference between when good quarterbacks get calls and bad ones don't. Obviously, you don't see it as much in the playoffs as you do the regular season, but it's just so tough to watch right now when you saw it. And DeMeco Ryans was on top of it. They all know it was the exact same thing. And also, what was up with that special teams player on the first play of that game? Absolutely losing his mind on his special teams coordinator. That was weird. Next one, Sean McVay's play calling in Philadelphia. Like I said, I alluded to it. I don't think they knew that it was going to snow. I don't think that they changed at all, made any adjustments when that snow started coming down. That sleet came coming down in the second half early because they kept going play action, deep pass, and Jalen Carter just kept beating up on that O-line. It wasn't until they went no huddle did they actually start moving the ball, but it was too little too late for Sean McVay, who everyone says is a genius, but the adjustments were way, way too late in that game. Could have been a lot more competitive if they had made changes early. And finally, Lamar Jackson. Let's beat him up. Why? Because he's 3-5 straight up in the playoffs, Joe. Multiple MVPs. He's minus 12 in turnovers in those five losses. He hasn't just lost football games. He's lost them dramatically. Jordan DeYanni says Lamar's multiple turnovers in 50% of his playoff games versus 15% in the regular season. Those are big numbers. He couldn't escape the run. He didn't run. Like I said, 6 carries, 39 yards after 15 carries last week. They got away from it. And then all of a sudden, when that team's playing from behind, your best player, Derrick Henry, doesn't touch the field because they're like, we need Justice Hill on the hurry-up offense. So it's Henry's on the bench. He's your best guy. It just goes bad. And that interception was so bad, and you saw it in his reaction after it. And, I mean, that turnover, the fumble, was just him trying to do too much and not maybe knowing the conditions. And I think the Covers X account put out a tweet the other day. It was like, which quarterback would you prefer, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? Outdoor quarterback, Josh Allen all day. Lamar, I know he plays in Baltimore, and I know he's a weather quarterback, but he's not Josh Allen.
The real MVP, Josh Allen. Yeah, I don't understand that. I probably spent too much time on Twitter/X, where it's right after the game. I don't know. It's maybe it's Ravens fans. People are sticking up for Lamar Jackson ahead of, you know, the news cycle the next day where people are going to kill him. But he does deserve to be criticized, guys. Couple of awful turnovers. Okay, looking ahead to next week here, no official picks here right now. You know, I think we'll want to get a couple closer to what the forecast is going to be 6 days out right now. But we have the Commanders as a 5.5-point underdog, total 48.5 at Philly. And then we have Bills, a 1.5-point dog, total 47.5. I would initially lean Commanders 5.5. They're what, 5-6 weeks removed from beating the Eagles. They played them tight in a, I believe it was a Thursday night game as well. I don't know about the totals of these two games. And I want the Bills to win. I don't know, though. I wonder if we'll get a bit of, if the referees will, you know, hold those flags a little bit tighter in this game due to all the criticism. With how they're judging these Chiefs games. Anything stand out to you? Anything pop out, spread or total wise right off the bat here, Jingles?
I don't know. I'm really hopefully, like, if I'm betting, like, let's say Washington, Philly right now, Jalen Hurts is okay, right? Like, he got folded up pretty good, that knee. I mean, he took that safety in the end zone. He wasn't mobile, right? But this is also an offense that can just hand it off to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, A.J. Brown has, what, 2 catches over the last 2 games? 2 playoff wins? That's crazy. But I might like the Eagles here. I might like points in that game if the weather does hold up. Supposed to hold up, 48 there. Washington track meet game so far. But Buffalo, the one thing I like about this Buffalo game, I think Buffalo can run the ball versus Kansas City. And Kansas City had no run game last week. Like, they didn't know whether they wanted Kareem Hunt in the backfield, Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield. Hunt was a better back. They gave him the goal line work as well. But Buffalo got everybody mixed in. You saw Ray Davis, Ty Johnson get some looks. And that team is just going to run the ball. And if you sell out, Josh Allen still can throw the ball 15 times for 200 yards. That's how good he is. I like the Bills here. We're seeing that number move a bit from 1.5 to 2. But I'd prefer the over in Washington, Philly if Jalen Hurts is good. Probably don't like the over in Buffalo and Kansas City because I'm not sure if Kansas City wants to run the ball, but I like the Bills there too.
I think the best possible scenario for the Super Bowl, if you don't have a horse in the race in terms of your fandom or futures bet, would be the Bills win a tight game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and then the Commanders have a great game and beat the Eagles. That way you might have a spread that's a little bit tighter. A good case could be made for the Commanders, because I think if the Commanders win tight, there'll be a bigger underdog against whether it be the Bills or the Chiefs. They still have to get by the Eagles, but I can't do 2 weeks of the Kelce brothers again leading up, because, you know, the other Kelce brother, the former Eagle, Jason, he's going to be heavily in the mix here, no matter who's involved. Yeah. I can't do it. I do not want 2 weeks. I got nothing against Taylor Swift, but it's just Chiefs exhaustion. It's been shoved down our throats, and they're a great team. And I know Jake Bout was on the show last week. He likes cheering for some greatness, a team going for the first three-peat ever. But I want Bills Commander, something fresh. I think it would be fun. Jaden Daniels is a great story, maybe the best rookie ever in the history of the NFL. If he goes on to win the Super Bowl, you can't really debate that. What do you think here as a fan? Take the betting out of it. What would you like to see here for the Super Bowl matchup?
Same. I like Jaden Daniels as a person, as a media guy. Like, he's just so calm and collected. Like, in a world of animosity and Jameson William hump dances in the end zone. Like, Jaden Daniels is him right now. It's impressive. And like I said, that supporting cast is brutal. But he's winning games, and he's winning games like down the stretch. He's not hanging on. He's winning them games by himself. So I would love to see him. Like I said, 5.5. Like, would you be surprised if there was like a Sirianni, like a Kellen Moore, like just bad play calling from Philadelphia? I think they've been bailed out by Saquon Barkley, as you said, like 78, 50 plus touchdowns. Like, those, you shouldn't be getting those in the, like, the quarterfinals of any playoff, right? You shouldn't be busting off these big games. So if that game, if maybe the weather's a little better in that game where the footing's better, maybe you don't see Saquon rip off 80-yard TDs and in the spot where all you had to do was stop the run if you're the Rams, right? I think there was like 5 minutes left. It was kill the clock time. Boom, first play, gone. And it was cool that he looked over. He looked over at Hurts and said, yeah, get ready for this.
Yeah. That was
so
awesome.
I don't know. I would love to see Daniels. I'd like to see Washington do the upset. I haven't been a big Philly fan. And, of course, I'd love to see Josh Allen. He's just, I mean, come on. We have Patrick Mahomes jammed down our throat constantly. We have the Taylor Swift thing jammed down our throats. We have the ref angle now. We have the Kelce's we're kind of sick of. Just get rid of it.
Yeah, the Kelce's seem like great guys. It'd be fun to have 100%. A beer with, but it's just too much, right? But, Jaden Daniels, I'm not supposed to – I'm a Dolphins fan. I'm not supposed to cheer for the Bills, but that's who I'm cheering for now. That's who I'm taking on. Take the betting out of it because I was with the Lions, obviously. So now I'm going to hop on the Bills Mafia bandwagon here and something fresh. You know, it's a good story. They lost the 4 straight Super Bowls in the 90s. They haven't been back since. Josh Allen seems like a great guy. So let's go, Buffalo.
Did you see Kelce halftime in the Kansas City-Houston game on the halftime show wearing his flannels? Like, he looks awesome. Like, I love what he does. I just don't want to see it. Scott Van Pelt was wearing a jacket with a hood and a toque. He looked absolutely frozen, but I don't. 2 weeks, right? Think about all that media in 2 weeks, Joe, right? When you interject Kelce and Swift into it, it can be overdone.
Yes, we've been there, done that. Let's get something fresh. Okay, Jingles, you'll be back with us on Friday's show. We're going to have our best bets, spread totals, probably a team total or two, a bunch of props, maybe a teaser. I don't know. You probably have to go both dogs, obviously, but maybe we shall see. That might be a good play, actually. Bills.
Oh, he's talking himself into it.
There we go. I got to look into that a little bit more. Probably leaning heavily towards that right now. Okay, buddy. Have a great week with your NHL coverage and your research for these NFL games. We'll catch you on Friday.
Appreciate it. Enjoy your day. Enjoy everything. Holiday on the other side. But big day. We got afternoon sports, so let's have one, Joe.
Let's go. Let's go. All right. Speaking of those afternoon sports, MLK Day in the USA, a bunch of afternoon basketball into some late afternoon basketball, some early evening basketball, some late night basketball. And we're talking it with a clean shaven John Mellor. John, what made you decide to go with the clean shaven look that people are dying to know?
Yeah, I just had time. I don't know. It was the weekend. I shaved it off on the weekend. So
I haven't done a razor shave of the face. I do the neck and up here. It's just an easy way to live here, guys. And if you can pull it off, I highly recommend it. Okay, John. So we have 6 picks between the two of us here. Some props, a total. And a couple of spreads here. So let's get things started here. I think this game gets going at about an hour and a half here down in Houston. We have the Pistons in town to take on the Rockets. And I'm going to take the over for this one. The total sitting there at 222. So I was on a Rockets over last week. And I'm on this one for many of the same reasons here. Because their games have been flying over lately, specifically flying over this number. Their last 7 games where they lead the NBA in scoring, by the way, have averaged 242.2 points per game. Now, the Pistons defense, when they go on the road, they are getting absolutely lit up. Since December 1st, they are 26 in points allowed on the road. And we should expect a lot of action at the free throw line in this game. These teams both allow a lot of free throws, 29th and 25th in opponent free throw attempt rate over the last 10 games. You love to see that when you're on the over, the clock stop, points being scored. So let's go over 222 down in Houston. And you have a player prop for this game, John.
Yeah, when Fred VanVleet over 13.5 points, minus 115. You just look at the, so he's gone under a bunch of times here and it's dropped from 16 and a half to 13 and a half. I think even just in general, if you were to throw this number in front of people, like, that feels pretty low for Fred VanVleet sitting at 13 and a half. You look at the last matchup in the against Pistons, came earlier in the year. He only had 7 points, which obviously, you know, love that, but he's 3 for 13 from the field. So the opportunity for shots was there. What I really like is that when you look back at that matchup, Asar Thompson was, he wasn't playing in that game. He's going to be playing in this one. He's back. He was out at the beginning of the year. So he should be taking Jalen Green, and Asar Thompson is by far the Pistons' best wing defender. So if he's taking Jalen Green, Fred VanVleet should be looking more at like Tim Hardaway Jr., Malik Beasley. You can hear my dog who's driving me crazy. They're going to be looking at more Tim Hardaway Jr., Fred, Malik Beasley as his primary defenders. I think that really helps Fred VanVleet in this spot because Asar Thompson should be taking out Jalen Green. So 13 and a half, I'd play this. You will see some 14 and a half on the board, but it's about even money. You can play that as well. It's pretty close because the juice is minus 115 on 13 and a half. 14 and a half ends play as well. So my dog loves this bet, as Mick said, and try to quiet down here. Fred VanVleet over 13 and a half points.
Yeah, we should get your dog involved when we're making some underdog bets here in the future. No underdog bet for this next game. We go to Golden State where the Celtics are favored by 10 points. Don't be scared of the big number. Let's go Boston Celtics here. So this is a repeat of a similar trend I made for a bet last week. So the Celtics, after a loss, they're elite. 9-3 against spread in games after a loss. They lost in overtime versus the Hawks on Saturday. So they're not just covering in this spot. They're beating the living shit out of teams. They have 8 wins of 15 or more points in the games after a loss here this season. Flying high. Golden State decimated by injuries right now. Draymond's not playing. We know Kuminga's out. Curry's questionable. Now, I'm making this bet under the assumption that he does play, but there is potential that he will not play. In this one, he left Saturday's game late in the fourth quarter with an ankle issue. And this is not a team that the Celtics are going to play down to, especially coming off of a loss. We know these teams met in the NBA Finals a couple of years ago. The Warriors actually came into Boston and beat them earlier in the season. And the Celtics are going to be off tomorrow. So no reason for the Celtics to relax and take their foot off the gas. We'll take the Celtics minus 10. And you have a prop that you like for this game, John.
Yeah, I want Derek White over 3.5 assists. It says plus 135 on the graphic. This has moved dramatically. But the best price you can see now is about like plus 110. So that plus 135 is gone. But I still like it at plus 110 because I had a price about minus 145. So kind of similar to Fred VanVleet, Derek White, with like an assist prop I've kind of been watching. It's just, he's gone under 5 straight games, 4.5. That 4.5 usually sits about like minus 110, has dropped now to 3.5, and you're seeing big plus money because of all these unders. And when you're looking at the Warriors, they're down multiple defenders, like guys who would take away potential assists, potential being able to convert, like Draymond Green's go. Kyle Anderson, kind of a big deal with Draymond Green out because Kyle Anderson is someone who's a really good defender and would come in and play Draymond Green's spot. So he's out as well. Brandon Pajimski's out. You just look at, like, if you're in the Celtics offense, it's one of those things where I feel like with the Celtics, there's just certain numbers you have to play on guys when it reaches that point. And for Derek White, this is it, because you really just don't have to do anything that spectacular to get assists. I mean, you just swing, someone hits a three-pointer, you get an assist. And if you're the last guy who made the swing pass, you get an assist. So you kind of, you can break it down, but like it's a 10-point spread. I don't think Derek White would be the first person pulled if it is a blow as well. And you're probably looking at Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, even Drew Holiday. So I feel like Derek White's minutes are more secure of all those people. So at that price, I mean, even last game, he had 10 potential assists, 2 assists. So it's not that they're just not converting for him. So eventually those shots start to fall, you get those assists. So at that price, about plus 110, I would definitely still play it on the over for Derek White.
Darren Folk says in the live chat, in regards to my Celtics pick there, same as the Grizzlies angles, best bet after a loss, I think is what he meant to say there. Yeah, it all depends on what the number. You don't want to bet them blindly, but if you think the number is fair, some teams are excellent at bouncing back after a loss. The Grizzlies are the best. The Celtics are the second best. Speaking of one of the best teams right now, I'm going to take the Clippers to cover this spread with the Chicago Bulls in town. Clippers coming in at -6. They're on a very efficient stretch right now, one of their best stretches of the season. Number 2 in net rating over the last 5 games. Bulls are 23rd in this span. Bulls usually pretty good on offense. Not lately. Last five games, 26 in offensive rating. They could be in trouble versus one of the more elite defenses in the NBA. And the Bulls are playing that bad basketball versus some really bad competition. Portland, Charlotte, the Hawks, the Pelicans. The Hawks are okay, I guess, but those other three teams all stink, and they lost to all four of them. A couple of trends here. There's another trend I've been backing a lot on the show here. LA as a favorite. They're an NBA best 13-4 against the spread. They are in an 8-0 against the spread tear as a home favorite. And both of these teams played yesterday. The Bulls have been awful in the second game of back-to-backs this season. They're an NBA worst. 1-6 against the spread with five double-digit losses in these games. So I'll take the Clippers to keep rolling here. And once again, you have a prop for a game that I have a bet on. Zubac, what do you like?
Yeah, this was not intentional either. We just kind of landed same prop, same games here. So I went to Vicha Zubac. So the number I grabbed this morning was over 14.5 points, minus 120. It's moved by a point. You can definitely still place at 15.5, minus 120. If it jumps to 16.5, minus 120, at that point, I'd probably back off of it. So you're just looking at the defense of the Chicago Bulls. Zubac is someone who he kind of needs help, someone creating for him, right? Like if someone is able to get in the lane and give him the ball in good spots, he will score points. I think that's what you're going to see from James Harden against the Chicago Bulls defense. They just don't have good wing defenders. So I think you're going to see a lot of like potential assists for James Harden going to Vicha Zubac. And then he just has the matchup, you know, Nikola Vucevic. It's like we tagged this with Mark Williams on Friday. Mark Williams unfortunately came up 1 point short of our SGP there on the alts. But it's the same idea. It's just like Vucevic is just not a good defender. So like in terms of getting the ball to Zubac, it just makes sense from like a matchup standpoint as well. And Kawhi Leonard, it's the second night of a back-to-back. So he's out. He's not playing. He's still on that minutes restriction. So again, more usage. There was also a ton of guys tagged as questionable yesterday for the Clippers. Norman Powell was one of them. So there's also the off chance you just see maybe one of them sits out. It seems like they're all good to go. But again, that would also help. It could be Zubac. You don't even know. But that would help his usage as well. So I have everyone in. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard's out. I like the over 15.5.
Got a couple good games here today. T-Wolves Grizzlies, also an afternoon game. Suns, an 8-point dog in Cleveland. Suns playing decent basketball over their past couple games anyways. So I think that might be a bit too high. But John's going to be back with us on tomorrow's show. Of course, maybe we'll think of a couple topics to kick around in addition to our best bets. So let's recap these ones. I like the over 222 Pistons Rockets. I like the Celtics to cover as a 10-point favorite. I like the Clippers to cover as a 6-point favorite. FVV over 13.5 there for the Rockets. Hopefully to help push that full game over. Derek White over 3.5 assists. And Zubac over 15.5 points. Okay, so a massive day coming up here at Covers because we got a massive football game tonight. We're all over it. We got a bunch of coverage here on the Covers YouTube channel. We recorded the official preview with a couple guys last week. You can find that in the video section if you want some more analysis and some more best bets for the game. So make sure you check that out. If you like the show, guys, it's very easy to let us know. All you have to do is hit that like button right down there. You should hit that subscribe button as well. It makes our content much easier to find, and we cover everything worth covering in the world of sports betting. Okay, right back at you tomorrow. Professional sports bettor Hitman will be here to look ahead to the conference championships. We'll get some best bets out of him, and John Mettler will do a deep dive on some NBA. So we do look forward to that. Thank you to my two guests for joining. Thank you to producer Mick. Excellent job with the recap graphic. I must say, fantastic work by him on a Monday, too. Usually, no case of the Monday for producer Mick. Great job by him. Great job by our sponsor, BetMGM. Great offering. If you're looking to get some bets in tonight, make sure you check them out. A lot of different options for Ohio State, Notre Dame. And our biggest thanks of all goes out to all of our great viewers for tuning in, especially those of you who join us live and participate in the live chat. We appreciate you guys very much. Best of luck with all the bets tonight. Enjoy the games and the big game, the big college football game. And we will catch you guys again tomorrow. Let's go, Celtics and Clippers. Woo!